Our scripture this morning is out of the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. That law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. I continued reading because I wanted to complete what had been going on and transpired there at that place, that pool there. In this day and time, there's so many options to consumers made available these days. Just visit the supermarkets. I was in the supermarket yesterday. It is amazing to see the choices and observe the wide display of all kinds of products. And I remember when I returned from South America as a missionary, I stood in the cereal aisle of a supermarket, and I was bewildered for about 40 seconds just trying to figure out, whoa, do I want sugar frosted flakes, or do I want sugar frosted smacks or whatever like that? It's amazing, isn't it, what it have to offer today in that regard, needless to say. You have many varieties of teas, coffee, soft drinks. You have breakfast cereals, and it all could lead to a nervous breakdown if you took it seriously enough. No longer is plain coffee good enough to the last drop. There's dark, medium, and light roasted coffee available, plus flavored ones to conform to our delicate taste buds. Have you ever watched those television commercials about some new prescription medication, which is supposedly the cure-all for health problems? At first, it sounds great, but then comes the announcement that there's possible deadly side effects. That kind of pops the balloon there, doesn't it? It really does. It ranges everything from suicidal tendencies to ingrown toenails. It's amazing, isn't it? It's enough to make us prefer some homemade remedies rather than swallowing those potential lethal doses of poison. Regardless of choices and considerations, life can become a tedious whirlwind of surprises. Now, there's good surprises, and sometimes there's not so good surprises or unpleasant surprises. But on the whole, mostly, hopefully, those surprises are pleasant. Christ encountered numerous helpless people during his brief 3 years of ministry on earth. Christ, it must be remembered, sincerely appreciated everyone with whom he encountered. He appreciated. This may sound unusual. Originally, in the wording, when I was working on the sermon, I put controversial, but I think it's more unusual than anything. It's entirely possible that Christ did accept the world as he found it. But, this is the difference, Christ sought to make it better through eternal life offered as the loving Son of God. In that regard, Christ brought inspiration to those in the most desperate conditions, and also those who aren't in too bad desperate conditions as well. But as someone said once, a person cannot be well without being healthy. Likewise, we can't be happy without goodness in our lives to share with others. So Christ met a person who was a captive or even a prisoner of his medical condition. This person had been in this predicament all his life, but found actually no successful healing treatment. Well, then this pool was there, but it wasn't doing him any good because all sorts of people visited the pool for a miracle. But guess what? They were quite rude. They would jump in the pool and knock him out of the way. So that's a matter of rudeness if you look at it closely there. So just imagine the scene with those sick and lame and rejected people there. No doubt the good Pharisees stayed away from that place rather than be contaminated. See, they didn't want to have anything to do with undesirable people. So they preferred probably to stay away. So anyway, this physically challenged man was not looking for anything special that day to change or alter or improve his life. It was going to be a ho-hum, just a regular day, like it always had been for the previous 38 years. You know, it was on an average day like that in Menlo Park, New Jersey, when Thomas Edison was working on a gadget to improve the doorbell. And he made a slip, and guess what came out of it? The talking machine. We know it later as the Victrola, the phonograph, CD player, MP3, and whatever else is coming on the market in technology. We owe that to making a door, or trying to improve on a doorbell. Thomas Edison's first words recorded was, "Mary had a little lamb." So that goes a long way. We've come a long way since the 1870s. But so that was not even considered that day. I'm sure Edison got up. He probably didn't even think nothing was going to happen. But boy, something did happen there. One surprise after the other in our lives. You ever have that sometimes? Now, they may not come every minute, but it always a surprise, and usually they're never expected. And so we sometimes, when we get surprised, it's a moment of joy. Well, this disabled person to whom Christ spoke was obviously astounded, maybe even skeptical when the Lord commanded him to get his mat, get up and walk. Maybe he was scared and timid, or even both. I know most of us would find it the unknown and familiar, very frightening. And I'm sure this man did too. As much as he wanted to walk for 38 years, that idea probably was something, you know, hey, my muscles, you know, what about those? You know, he hasn't used muscles. But Christ took care of all that. You know, aside from that attitude of the unknown and familiar being frightening, perhaps the man had reconciled himself a long time ago to a fatalistic belief that nothing could cure him of his infirmity of 38 years. When I visited Nancy Pickett the other day, this isn't in the script, by the way. When I visited Nancy Pickett the other day, I was amazed at her positive mentality. And, you know, in reflection through the years of seeing people in the hospital, those who have a positive mindset, they're healing quicker. And in fact, they have a very successful recovery. But those who go in scared, and all of us are scared at some time or the other, but those who go in with a doom and gloom mindset, most of the time they don't leave the hospital. I knew a woman at a former church, and she was literally just paranoid, and she never left. She got worse and worse, even though the procedure was a success. But her mind was telling her otherwise, and the healing did not take place. So remember this, regardless of your problem or health issue or whatever it is, financial, whatever, remember, try to keep a positive mindset. Now, is this imaginary wish thinking? No, it's not. It's proven that keep your mind positive. It is difficult to do sometimes when you're facing rough waters, but it's absolutely a proven fact that the better things happen when you keep that positive mindset. I knew an older woman one time in Miami where I was down there at a church, and her name was Connie. And Connie shared with me that until she was in her early teens, she'd suffered from a physical abnormality known as a cleft palate. Now, most of us probably grew up hearing the term hair-lipped. And that's what she had. She was hair-lipped or a cleft palate. Ridicule made her so ashamed of her appearance. But then corrective surgery at a Shriners Hospital restored her to a person of confidence, dignity, and beauty. Connie's life took on a fresh perspective, and she discovered hope for the first time. If you want to know a real fact, Christ is still working today to restore hope in people who really need it. Perhaps you're not in the need for hope right now, but you know what? You'll have hope all around you because you know Christ is in your life. Christ performed this miracle. It's interesting. Performed it on the Sabbath. Well, needless to say, his favorite critics, the Pharisees, were present. Did they seem delighted that someone had been healed physically? Well, I'm sure you all could give that a thumbs down. Of course not. Their concern was that their sacred Sabbath had been violated, as such an act was not to be tolerated. I will call this religion gone bad, warped religion, because it takes things that were meant to be good and perverts them into something that is not good. I call it nasty religion. Human compassion was less important than maintaining an ancient ritual or tradition, which in reality meant little to them. I don't kick tradition. I don't kick ritual. But what I'm saying, you may have to do an inventory and see where you stand on that. An interesting fact is that those who live closer to God seem to be less bothered by nitpicky matters or methodology. They're not hampered by formats or regulations, but always are concerned about pleasing God and doing right toward others. Now, am I saying that I believe in chaos? Not at all. But you have to have a balance. In actuality, I consider this contentment lived out. And one of my favorite phrases I have used over the past 10 years is something you will probably hear me use. I may have used it before and I don't remember it in here. But it's called that you have a cheerful and comfortable faith. You say, well, I never thought of using cheerful and comfortable together in the faith matters. But you think about that. People are more satisfied and much more at ease with themselves and at peace with God with that cheerful and comfortable faith. And guess what? Conflict or controversy becomes sincere indifference. If your faith is cheerful and comfortable, Christ continues to seek reconciliation as our intercessor to God. Likewise, in the parables, you know the parable of the lost coin and the parable of the lost sheep. You remember the 99 sheep and one was missing? It was sought after, continued before that one sheep was found. But I like the parable of the woman who was sweeping her house out. She had 10 coins and she lost one of them. And she swept and swept and finally found it, went running down the street yelling, I found my coin. She must have been from Scotland. But anyway, she was a wonderful example. She was a wonderful example of how God continues to seek and search us out. You know, I hear I've visited funeral homes, and I've been a sitter, not a preacher at a funeral, and I hear preachers talking about, you know, you've got to seek Jesus out, seek Jesus. You know what? I prefer the more Presbyterian style. I think Jesus through God seeks us out. God never forgets us. Now, we'll forget God sometime, but God never forgets us. That's a part of having a cheerful and comfortable faith, to know that God never has amnesia when it comes to God's children, us. Christ, through God, continues to seek reconciliation as our intercessor to God. So when life's demands and stresses are pounding us into mush or oatmeal, remember, God will never let us go. And always bestows upon us plenty of blessings. I added another word and I changed it. And I said, you know, I think God gives us blessings if we would only do. You know, there's an old hymn called Count Your Blessings. And that's very true. If you were to start, when you go to bed tonight, just think over the blessings God has given you just today. Now, am I saying you won the lottery? No. Did I say that somebody pulled up in your front yard with a Rolls Royce? No. But you just think of the little blessings that God gives you every day. You would be amazed and surprised because God truly loves us. So remember those blessings, and money can't buy them. Shall we pray? Lord, sometimes we do get a surprise in our lives that we're not expecting it. Most of the time it's good, but sometimes we get a surprise that's not so good. We pray, oh God, we know that you don't forget us. Help us, oh Lord, as you did the man at the pool. We know that he spent 38 years there waiting and waiting and waiting. But you came to him as you've come to us. As we lift up our voices in prayer every day to you, let us pray with confidence that we know that you will answer those prayers and that you are there to give us the confidence and hope we need. We thank you, O Lord, that we can have a cheerful and comfortable faith. This we pray through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.